Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Middlesbrough, England is Richard Lewis, who is the Chief Constable for Cleveland Police and the UK Police National Lead for Ethics. Chief Constable Lewis, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Hi, Adam. Looking forward to talk.
As am I. Now, your National Police Chief's Counsel's Lead for Ethics, as I mentioned, what does that role involve?
Well, unlike the US, where there are so many policing agencies, here in England and Wales, there are 43 geographic locations where there are policing agencies, and I run one of them. So that's about 2,500 employees, about 1,500 of them are police officers. But those that are chief constables, those in my position, also, if they wish, it's not a requirement, but if they wish, can take on national responsibilities. So some will take on national responsibility across the UK for serious and organised crime or the police use of firearms. And my portfolio is in ethics. So my job is not to dictate to the UK how they should comply or use ethics in the workplace in law enforcement, but to try and corral best practice across the country and disseminate that out across the 43 policing agencies and the others that are interested in our work.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating and important role. So how is the ethics program structured for police in the UK? Is there a whole formal program behind it?
There is. So I chair the National Ethics Committee, which is on a quarterly basis where we discuss all sorts of things, whether they be ethical dilemmas that the policing agencies face in the operational environment, or how to push out best practice. So every single policing agency in the UK will have their own ethics committee, localized to their area, where they can discuss the ethical dilemmas that they face. And you can imagine in law enforcement, we face them every single day in the work that we do. Set above those local ethical committees are regional ones. So the UK is split into four different regions where they feed up into those regions from local if there are ethical issues which they think require further discussion on a wider basis. And then they feed up to the national, which is the one that I chair. So there's a whole host of ethical issues right across the UK that are discussed locally right up to the nationally. So it is so rich in ethical dilemmas, the policing agencies that we have right across the world, not just here in the UK, of course, that a whole series of debates happen. What we are careful to do, though, is to not ensure that all of those members of the ethics committees are internal to our law enforcement agencies. We have a whole host of people, whether they be academics with an expertise in ethics, people from private business, and right across society who will feed in to those ethics committees, whether they be local, regional or national, to make sure that the debate is a rounded one and not some echo chamber, which is just law enforcement officers talking about law enforcement.
Wow, that's fascinating. And I have to believe that provokes a much richer dialogue and probably some very different answers than might be expected. Now, what are some of the key ethical risk areas that you've been focused on?
So they're driven by the types of problems that you expect police officers to come across. So an emerging area of interest here, well, across the world again, but particularly here in the United Kingdom in policing at the moment, is digital ethics. It is about how we analyze data, how we collect data. What is the efficacy of artificial intelligence, facial recognition? These types of technologies are running ahead of us. And it's important that we not just use this technology, but understand that the way that we use it is ethical, that we have the public that we police on board, because of course we don't police the public, we police with them. Their consent is vital to the work that we do. So we try and get ahead of the conversation on new technologies, but it isn't just new technologies. They're the types of problems the police officers have faced since they've been policing agencies. So abuse of authority. What is it the police officers in uniform can and can't do? What is it that they should and shouldn't do is a slightly different question, but still full of the types of ethical dilemmas you expect. And the more problematic areas that have been not just in policing, but of course, in the corporate world as well, sexual harassment, abuse of authority in the corporate world. So anything which, so that can be the Me Too movement that we've seen recently, Black Lives Matter, which is more recent again. So we do what we can to look at the environment that we police, the issues that we see in other agencies, but also in other industries, and see how they might apply to policing and what questions we should be asking of ourselves to be ready for those problems that our officers are bound to face whilst they're both out on the streets, but also working within their agencies.
And it's a great point that you raised there about the fact that, you know, we tend to lose track of the fact that when we think of ethics issues police face, we think about it, you know, with the civilian population, but lose track of the fact that, like any organization, there's internal issues as well. Now, recently, you're good enough to join SCCE. What led you to become a part of the organization?
Well, it seemed to be full of people who have devoted their professional lives to dealing with the same types of problems, although in a different environment to the types of ones that I'm doing in law enforcement. So it felt to me natural to reach out to other people working in a similar field or considering the same types of problems to see if there are solutions out there already to the problems that we face. I think we've got something to offer as well in the way that we think about the dilemmas that we face, whether that's the policing of COVID-19 and regulations in whichever country you happen to be in. And the relationship that we enjoy with the public is just as important as the relationship of the corporate world have with their customers as well. So I think there's a lot of cross-pollination that can happen because we're all discussing the same things. It seemed the natural thing for me to do, to reach out to people working in other countries, such as the US, somewhere that I've spent a significant amount of time and loved, but also to other agencies. And so it is a community which already exists where there's so much guidance out there, rich guidance that we can use for the way that we police here in the UK. It just felt the most natural thing to do, to reach out to those people who devoted their professional lives to this.
Well, glad you did. I mean, we appreciate having you a part of the dialogue because, you know, as you mentioned, there's so many out there doing it. We should all take advantage of learning for each other. Now, let me move off subject a little bit, though I think it's more germane than it may originally sound to some people. But, you know, I know that you have a very strong commitment to mental health for police officers. It can be an extremely stressful job, as you know. So it's not surprising that mental health can be a challenge. What would you advise others in stressful positions to do to safeguard their own mental well-being?
That's a great question. The police officers that we have face trauma on an almost daily basis. It is one issue on top of another, and they can become complex needs that some of our officers have. As chief constable leading an agency, allowing for the ravages of age, which obviously take their toll on all of us, I want my police officer to retire with their mental health as well as it was on the day that they joined. Now, that's a difficult thing to do, given the things that we ask them to do on a daily basis, the sensibilities of police officers and not those of normal people, given the trauma that they are exposed to. So there's things that we do internally at Cleveland Police and right across the UK and across the world, I'm sure, to make sure that we keep our staff healthy and fit. It is the provision of counselling on a regular basis. Those that work in high-risk environments, whether it's child abuse or elsewhere, have mandatory annual referrals and assessments for their mental health. But we also try and make sure that there is a balance between the amount of hours that people work and the time they spend at home. That has become harder during COVID-19, of course, because for those that can work from home, we allow them to do that. But then nothing that beats that face-to-face interaction that you can have with your team. So we have a number of what we call blue light champions, people who are in the workplace, who have a degree of training to be able to spot the signs of stress in others and offer the support that we can. But a healthy work-life balance is something that we all strive for, but hardly ever achieve. It's something that we try and do at Cleveland Police to make sure that we understand, and that our staff understand, that their health is important to us. And that means time away from a workplace, de-stressing and decompressing as much as they can.
Yeah, and it is getting very hard to understand sort of where work ends and where personal life begins, especially at this era.
The boundary between home and work has almost disappeared, I think, particularly, yes, you're right, in the environment in which we're working currently. But with the onslaught of technology and the ability to log on at any point in any place across the world, work is always in your pocket. It is a smartphone away. It is too easy sometimes for us to log on and do an extra hour's work rather than understand that this is time to be with family and to be away from work. So we do what we can to promote a healthy work-life balance, knowing that a career in the police service could be 30, 35 years in the United Kingdom, which means it is a long time. And that long time, those individuals are in our care, and it's up to us to make sure that they are as healthy as we possibly can.
And a very noble goal, both for police and for every profession. Well, Chief Constable Lewis, thank you so much for taking the time to share these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.